In the New Testament, there are at least three times as many reminders of God's goodness upon believers, as opposed to it being pointed out how far we all fall short. Yet I'm astounded how often other believers seem to need to remind each other that they are unworthy of anything good. Paul and other writers repetitively remind us that if we believe in Christ, we are free from the lead weights on our feet and, now, are crowned by God Himself. That's right, crowned. Those who are in Christ went from being only worthy of death to being crowned, consecrated, and highly favored. Pretty incredible, huh? I see myself as standing upon the high platform of the hangman's gallows, the noose tight around my neck, the hooded executioner cruelly snickering. Little did I know life was about to radically change. Standing there, maybe I remember my having identified closely with Judas the traitor, or Peter who publicly denied Christ, or maybe as someone in leadership who compromised their principles of right and wrong and was indifferent to the pitiful state of others. Maybe I would be thinking about my secret vulgarities, taking advantage of the ignorant and compromised, thinking only of myself, choosing anything but Jesus, putting my hopes in the schemes of the world. And as I stand there, knowing I am worthy of death 1,000 times, I look over to the right and see Jesus standing in the crowd. I silently mouth, "Help me," to him, and instantly I am taken from having the hangman's noose around my neck to sitting in the throne room with God Almighty, crowned with mercy and salvation. Ha! Yep, pretty incredible. There will be those amongst us who will hear those words, and sure, they'll cry, but they will be only thin, lukewarm tears only running down a little. Then there will be the others who cry also, thick, hot tears which run off their chin, dribbling down their chest at first for sadness as to their state, but then it will turn to overwhelming joy for the goodness of God, who has crowned them with goodness. If you are a believer in Christ, have you read Proverbs 4, verse 9, which says that God's infinite wisdom only has glory for its boundaries, bringing to us gladness and a crown of joy? We are supposed to be living our lives crowned with joy. We need to know that a crown of radiance is a sign given of the victory of the righteous who have endured and overcome. If you aren't radiant, well, why not? Jesus lives in your heart and He is radiant. You should be too. Or is that too much goodness to endure, considering someone grounded into your head that we are merely sinners saved by grace, barely scraping into heaven's gate with the faint smell of brimstone on us because it was such a close call on going to hell? In Exodus 39, verse 30, the very word for crown is a picture of the wearer as an heir and a hero, the crowned man with the sword of the Spirit. Oh my, more than a mere sinner saved by grace, but crowned by God as one who overcomes in Christ. In 1 Chronicles 20, there is another word for crown which refers to the wearer as someone upon whom sits grace and breath, who has eyes to see, as in having look-ahead sight, and as someone who walks in the knowledge of God surrounded by His goodness. And it all sits on top of their head. Hebrews 1:9. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. God considers anointing oil as a type of crown, and it literally means separation to God upon your head. 1 John 2:20 uses the word unction, and the Greek word there for unction means the thick paste of anointing. Ha, that's us. Yeah, you and me, anointed by God, and we get to wear a crown of gladness. Now that is amazing. You know, though, if you're busy being just a poor old sinner, merely saved by grace, stepping from sin to sin rather than from grace to grace, making sure to stress that anyone who says they have no sin is a liar, I'd bet you aren't too radiant, and bet you don't have many days walking around with pockets full of gladness either. Proverbs 1:9 says that a father's discipline and a mother's admonition is a crown to the children. Oh my, crowned again! A crown is a symbol of victory, conquering and overcoming, and we are more than conquerors, overcomers in Christ. The Lord crowns us with salvation and protection. But now, I'm mystified as to why do some only tell half the story with a focus on just the sinner part? Because to stop short at the part about being just a sinner is not the full counsel of the Lord. Inversely, others only tell about the being crowned part and leave off the need for repentance in being responsible for our actions and thinking. Neither are the full counsel of the Lord. So let's tell the whole story. Okay, back to the topic of crowns. Crowning is associated with our testimony of deliverance, and through the door of our testimony, we can see the connection to life and living light which pulses in the darkness, going out and coming in prosperity. And being crowned with God's idea of prosperity, so doesn't mean getting rich, but it's about the Lord making you to be so totally robust, so massive in the spirit, that the yoke of bondage literally snaps off your neck. That is prosperity, boy. Picture that. Our shalom place in Christ has boundaries which are the crown of our space, like the walls of Troy were considered as a crown of the city. See that our godly boundaries are also as a defining crown. We are crowned with Christ Himself, like in Revelation 4:10, when the elders removed their crowns and cast them at the feet of Jesus, meaning, gosh, I love this, that they were taking God Himself as their crown, giving Him all their honor, all authority, all power and blessing. They exchanged all that they were to wear Him as their crown. He is our crown. How extraordinary is that? Jesus Christ is crowned with all glory and honor. And His crown is a symbol of joy and respect, life and light, and a sign to all who believe that God sits as the one and only on the throne to mediate blessing, power, and illumination, warding off evil, granting us protection. In ancient writings, the stars which surround heaven were called the crown of heaven. God crowns our years with goodness, and the harvest is considered a crown to all those who labor. What we are crowned with is as important as the crown itself. So, I must ask, are you crowned with Christ, or crowned with all the remembrances of how messed up you were before you met Jesus, still so obsessed with what a sinner you are, carrying with you always a self-defined ceiling over your head, preventing you from seeing Jesus. Or maybe you've decided to crown yourself with titles, recognition, and self-declarations of personal megapower because God hasn't seemed to get there fast enough for you. Surely, it must be you don't see that Christ is your crown, and somehow you need to establish your own name and value. Is he not important enough for you that you must elevate yourself? Hey, friend, consider. If there is truly only one name under heaven, and the Lord is all he says he is, that should be radically life-changing for us all. Cast the crown of all you are at his feet and accept Christ as your crown. 2 Timothy 4:8 says God will crown each of us with the crown of righteousness, and James 1:12 says we will receive the crown of life when we endure because we love Jesus. Did you know we wear four crowns?
Four.
The first is Christ as our crown. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The second is we are crowned as a royal priesthood. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Third is the crown of God's authority. Because he reigns as supreme power and his sovereignty as held by a single person, and Jesus lives in us, we have God's endorsement to go and do whatsoever he asks of us. The fourth is the crown of a good name, the name of Christ who sits upon our head. Proverbs 22 verse 1 says that a good name is better than riches and gold, and Ecclesiastes 7:1 says a good name is better than precious ointment. And there, that word ointment means, again, the thick paste of anointing, which is a type of crown. The crown of anointing means separation to God upon your head. Man, that's good stuff. If you are a believer in Christ, upon your head sits grace and breath. You are someone who has eyes to see and walks in the knowledge of God, surrounded by his goodness. By the blood of Jesus, you have been made an heir and a hero, living this life as a crowned child of the King who possesses the sword of the Spirit. Ha! Crowned! Now, what do you think? Thanks for listening. I'm Social Porter with Living in His Name Ministries.